student loan debt. The numbers are astonishing, and the impact on the economy is crippling. People find themselves decades past graduation in a yoke of debt that not even bankruptcy can resolve. And student loans make up the biggest chunk of household debt behind mortgages. That's calculated to be a whopping $1.5 trillion. And while loan repayments are frozen, at least until the end of August, millions of people are still holding their breath, waiting for the other shoe to drop when they have to start paying again. Just recently, President Biden wiped out nearly $4 million in student debt for former students of ITT Technical Institute. But the piecemeal approach leaves many wondering whether their own debt burden could be erased next, or if it'll follow them all the way into retirement. We discuss what can be done about those student loans. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to Fox 11 News In Depth. I want to show you some numbers. As of the end of last month, Americans owned nearly $1.75 trillion in student loan debt. That's an unbelievable number. That's spread over some 48 million borrowers. The average debt that a bachelor's degree recipient leaves school with is more than $28,000. Joining us to talk about that is Alan Collinge. He's the founder of StudentLoanJustice.org. He's also the author of The Student Loan Scam. Welcome, Alan. Good to see you. And tell me a little bit about how we got into this mess.
Well, sure. You know, unlike every other loan in the country, in fact, in the country's history, student loans have been uniquely stripped of nearly every fundamental consumer protection. So you mentioned bankruptcy, and that's incredibly important. But, you know, also statutes of limitations have been uniquely taken away from federal student loans, fair debt collection practices, even truth in lending laws. And so really what's been created is a predatory lending system, hyperinflationary and very abusive. So we're seeing some widespread, exploitation of the borrowers where, you know, a $20,000 loan can become a $100,000, $200,000 monstrosity. And without those consumer protections that I just mentioned, there is nowhere to go for the borrower. They're essentially over a barrel. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, in this case, the lender is the federal government over the past 12 years.
You know, I remember a time that doesn't seem that long ago where students could go to college without loans or pay them off quickly. What happened?
Yeah, college used to be more heavily subsidized by the federal government. Certainly, you know, you could work a summer job and pay for your tuition back in the 70s. Well, you know, this lending system came around and these profit motives, these quite frankly predatory profit motives, were built into the lending system that stands behind it. And so all the brakes came off. The colleges were free to raise their prices almost at will. The lenders now today, which is the federal government, is willing to lend ever more and more money every year. And remember, this is for a lending system that when it was created in 1965, President Lyndon Baines Johnson declared that the loans would be free of interest. Well, that didn't happen. And today, over $100 billion a year in interest alone, $10 billion in California alone, is sucked out of California, added to the backs of these borrowers.
Well, we're going to talk about some pretty staggering numbers during this half hour. But, you know, is there any way out of this short of just having to wipe the slate clean for everybody?
Well, the core of this is bankruptcy. You know, the founding fathers in the Constitution, ahead of the power to declare war and raise an army, called for uniform bankruptcy rights. And that's what's been taken away from student loans. At a minimum, those must be returned so that the borrowers have at least a floor of leverage so that we aren't abused, the prices aren't increased willy-nilly, and this debt doesn't hound us to the grave.
And that option of bankruptcy, I know, is one of your main focuses. But President Biden just recently offered up an idea here of considering a $10,000 forgiveness figure. Is that going to be enough?
No, that's not going to be nearly enough. First of all, after means testing and other bureaucratic tricks they like to play in Washington, D.C., it will not be $10,000 for most people. It will be far less than that, if anything. But, you know, $10,000 does nothing for certainly the particularly the older borrowers who have seen, you know, $30,000 debts turn into $250,000 burdens. It does nothing for the people who are being hurt the worst. And quite frankly, if you only owe $10,000 in student loans, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, Rhode Island Democratic Senator has introduced a new bill in Congress that would allow Americans to refinance their loans with 0% interest. Would that help?
Well, going forward, it may be somewhat helpful, but for the 40-plus million people who are now burdened under this staggering debt, the vast majority of which is not principal, not unpaid principal, but rather interest, penalties, and fees that have already been tacked on, it does little or nothing.
You know, we're gonna talk to some other folks this half hour, and we're going to hear some staggering numbers. But basically, you know, where are you going with all this? What's your organization doing? How are you trying to do it? How are you getting to an end game?
Well, this is just very simple. We've got to return, at a minimum, the standard bankruptcy protections that exist for all other loans and that were, you know, enshrined in the Constitution. Now, from there, it'll be interesting to see where the chips fall. Quite frankly, at this point, I think we're probably going to have to broadly, widely, deeply cancel broad swaths of the debt, far more than what we've seen President Biden do up to this point. But there's a lot of good ideas out there. I think the lending system itself is essentially finished. I think we need to replace it with a way to fund higher education that is fair, fairly priced for both the students and their families and the taxpayer. There's good ways to do it. Well, many other countries have done it.
Well, what would be the impact on the economy if that were to happen?
Well, if student loan debt were canceled entirely, the most conservative analysis shows about $100 billion a year increase in GDP. But if you include the increased borrowing capacity, it's easily double that. And, you know, there's a lot of other sort of immeasurable benefits. You know, people are going to be able to start families. People are going to be able to start businesses. People are going to be able to invest in themselves and their communities. You know, there's a lot of social harm being done right now, and this will be a massive weight lifted and, frankly, at long last.
All right, Alan Collins, thank you very much.
All sorts of bankruptcy.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Alan, for joining us, Alan Collins. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we take a look at what's going on in California, the impact student loan debt is having on the cost of living here, and an avenue for debt relief that is frequently overlooked. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and joining us now is Lisa Ansel. She's the Associate Director of the University of Southern California Kasdan Institute, where she's written extensively on the student debt crisis. And you wear an awful lot of hats. You're currently the California chapter president of Student Loan Justice, right? And then also you teach Hebrew at where?
At Hebrew Union College in Los Angeles.
But we'll do this one in English, okay?
Sure.
Tell us, first of all, what that organization does on the local level.
Right. So each chapter of Student Loan Justice tries to raise awareness to the depth and scope of the student debt crisis, tries to encourage new membership and encourage activism at the local and national level. And that could mean contacting our senators, in our case, Senators Padilla and Feinstein, and to also be active and involved in national races that are very relevant and germane to the student debt crisis.
All right, so you teach students, but you come to this issue in a very personal way, don't you?
Correct.
Your own experience with student debt.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
45 million Americans, I had a tremendous student debt burden until last November.
What happened last November?
So my loans were actually canceled under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, but I consider myself no more meritorious than the hundreds of thousands of applicants that are currently waiting in limbo for their own student debt to receive equal cancellation.
And over California, there are many of those folks you're talking about. And how does this impact Californians?
Right. So according to the California Budget and Policy Center, the California state budget is $235 billion. And according to the Department of Education, most recent data, Q4 2020, student loan borrowers owe $174 billion in California alone, which represents 75% of the entire California state budget. So this is a tremendous crisis that overlaps with existing crises of housing affordability, food insecurity, shelter, homelessness, all these intersecting crises that we experience daily in California.
That's an extraordinary number. You know that emoji where the head is exploding?
Yes.
Me,
yes.
Right now. That's an extraordinary number. Right? 235 million versus 174 million. That's not that far apart.
Billion, right?
and so I guess that sort of leads us to, you know, what is it that people can do here in the state? Are there state programs, for instance?
Right. So there is, when we look at existing forms of student loan cancellation, I would say California is making efforts to raise awareness regarding the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. But as we know, this program, despite the limited waiver that the Department of Education and President Biden enacted, that is essentially in place until October 31st of this year, you know, this program has a notorious denial rate of 98%. So even with the limited waiver, we've seen some numbers go up, but not by any significant margin.
But how does that program, the public service loan program, how does that work?
Loan,
how does that work?
Okay. The Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program was designed to encourage people to enter the public sector as teachers, as nurses, as social workers, librarians, you know, careers that center around public service. And the way this program was designed was that after 120 payments, which equals 10 years of service in the public sector, one's student debt would in theory be canceled. However, we've seen, and this program started in 2007. So the earliest wave of borrowers who could have received forgiveness was in 2017. However, this program has had a consistent denial rate in the upper 90s%. And despite the limited waiver that counts previous sorts of payment plans that were not traditionally accepted, and including some periods of forbearance, different types of loans before they were consolidated into the direct loan program to become eligible for public service loan forgiveness, we're still seeing tremendously high rejection rates.
Yeah, you were saying that the denial rate is what, 90-some percent. But let me ask you this. I mean, when we talk about, you know, student debt loan and what needs to be done, as we talked in the last segment, is the answer to this just wiping out student loan altogether? Because you borrow money, you got to pay it back.
Right. Well, there's the debate of whether higher education constitutes a public good, right? Do we as a society benefit from an educated population? And many countries have indeed recognized that the more educated their society is, the more advanced their country becomes, the less they deal with cyclical poverty, dependence on welfare programming. So there's the debate of whether higher education is in fact a public good, and if so, should it be funded accordingly?
Right. You know, I remember, I got to just tell you, just an aside, because we're just about out of time for this segment, but I remember when I put my kids through college thinking, what happens if they have kids, and then 18 years later, what's this stuff going to cost them? College is a very expensive proposition. Of course, Everything seems to be these days when we have inflation issues going on as well. Lisa Ancel, thank you very much for joining us. Sure, appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we look at the toll student loans have taken on one professional who is facing the possibility that her debt could follow her all the way into retirement. I think you're going to want to hear this story. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and the next guest is someone you wouldn't expect to have issues with student loan debt. But you may be surprised. Meet Liz Main. She's a clinical psychologist, and she knows far too much about those student loans. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Mains. And we're going to hear your story right now. It's a little frightening to listen to. You got student loans for both your graduate and undergraduate studies. Is that correct?
I do. And they're both from private nonprofit universities. So
I want to take a look at some numbers here. And this is what is mind-boggling. You look at these figures, your original loan amount was $197 million. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't that much, was it?
Oh,
it was $197,189. And then the principal paid was $108,794. The interest paid $139,517. Total paid $248,312. And you still owe $204,000. Now, stay on that graphic for just one second, please. I want you to look at that number at the top and then the number at the bottom. That number at the top is what you borrowed. It was $197,189. And then look at the bottom is what you owe now. You owe more money now than you did when you took the loan.
Isn't it insane? And, you know, when you look at the amount I've paid, if you didn't consider the interest, I have overpaid my original loan amount. And it's unfortunate how the interest just really accumulates just so quickly. And before you know it, it's just overwhelming. And you feel completely hopeless when you look at the numbers. And for me, I continue to make payments year after or month after month. I've never missed a payment. I didn't take advantage of the COVID, putting my student loans on hold. I continue to pay. And it just seems that it just increases so exponentially that I just don't feel like it can ever catch up.
It's so hard to understand. I mean, you took a loan, you're paying off every week, every month, you haven't missed a payment, right?
No, never.
And you've paid the amount that was due.
Yes.
And the principal keeps going down.
Yes.
But your loan is still fat.
Yes.
This could go all the way into retirement for you, couldn't it?
It will, actually. And my understanding is even when you're collecting Social Security, you have to pay on your student loans.
Well, how do you sort of deal with that on two levels? One, the emotional level, and two, the actual financial level.
Well, I can tell you on the emotional level, it's feeling pretty hopeless and pretty overwhelming. And I talked to other folks on the student loan Facebook site, and there are many, many people who are very depressed and even unfortunately suicidal. They just don't see a way out. People have put their lives on hold, marriages on hold, buying a house is impossible. And, you know, it just feels like there's no way out.
You know, you got a PhD after your name. You got a doctor before it. People might think, wow, she's a professional. She must be doing quite well. And that's what we mean when we said earlier, you may be surprised at this person's issue with student debt, because somebody might look at you with your professional, you know, titles and say, well, she must be okay.
Well, that's why I'm speaking out. I'm not the only one. There are other folks who have received degrees in law and medicine, as well as clinical psychology, who are also drowning in this debt. And there is a part of it that's embarrassing, and it relates to feeling ashamed. And those professionals aren't talking out like I am, I think, because of, you know, the fact that we have higher level education, we should, quote unquote, be smarter than we are. And I think what happens is that as a young person, it's very easy to get caught up in your goal and not looking or being awake about the end result, which is this kind of horrible debt that one would be carrying. And also with the idea that I would be making a lot more money than I'm making with my profession. The professions have changed so much that it's challenging to make a lot of money. You'll see a lot of providers going to work as hospitalists or within organizations rather than having a private practice because they really can't afford it.
You talk about the notion of people feeling ashamed, people being embarrassed. And sometimes when somebody steps up to the camera, like you are right now, it takes a lot of gumption. Has this been something that it's been long an embarrassment for you? I don't know if this is your first time speaking out or if this is something you've been doing for a while. Can you share?
So this is the first time I've spoken out publicly, and I feel that I need to do this, and I want to make it okay for other people to speak out about this. You know, something's got to change. I really don't know what that is. I can tell you that, you know, getting $10,000, obviously, from the government to help me with my student loans is not the answer. I can tell you I've tried various National Health Service Corps programs, which have not been helpful to me personally to help reduce my debt. A lot of the programs that are out there sound like they're really helpful, but they don't always work for everyone.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you for stepping up and having a conversation with us and sharing from your heart and telling us, you know, because I know this is tough to do. I understand this is difficult. So that's one thank you. And the other thank you is for, you know, speaking out on behalf of people who may be in the same boat as you. 10 seconds, quick answer. Do you know a lot of professionals in exactly the same situation that you're in?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Dr. Liz Maines, thanks so much, doctor. PhD doctor.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you. And we'll be back right after this with more Fox 11 News In Depth. Don't go away. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. We leave you with some video of a subject we'll be talking more about in an upcoming show, lightning. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.